Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey everybody, it's Kevin Wiseman, one of the hosts of Did We Do It? Before we get started, give us a follow, _DidWeDoIt_ on Instagram and Twitter. And I just have to say, enjoy the episode, episode 2, season 2. You may notice Kyle Gass, the actual Kyle Gass on Instagram and Twitter, he will sound buttery smooth. My microphone, however, was not working correctly, so it's a little bit fuzzy. And I know you're not supposed to say anything. It's like if you're doing a play and someone comes to the show and you say, oh, you saw the Saturday show, the Friday show was better. You shouldn't say anything, but I'm telling you, the problem will be fixed for the next episode. Carter over at Believe Podcasts and I have worked out the issue. So going forth, no mic issues. Enjoy the show. Give us a like, give us a follow, and let us know, did we do it? Peace.
For two aging mid-level Hollywood celebrities who think a podcast is a good idea and who ask the eternal question to fill the hole in their soul. Did we do it? Here they are, Cage and Kevin!
I think because I paused it. Initial record must have
been. Oh, you paused.
I'm saving tape. Oh, yeah. Saving tape. Didn't want to burn any tape.
You know what you have to when you have to change when you have to change the theme song every new season.
Yeah,
remember that?
That had a little bit of
the old days.
Sure.
I don't even remember the first one actually.
No, that had a nice jam to it. That had like a '70s soulful jam.
Oh,
I like that.
I might have been out of tune.
I like that. I thought you were going to do the also the blue microphone jangle.
Oh,
blue, we're going to do an ad for Blue, for Yeti yeah. Blue.
We need them.
I mean, sure. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. They sent us quite a bit of free gear.
They did.
We've got microphones. We've got wind cancellation that you can attach to your mic. Yeah. That will inhibit extraneous sound. We've got the special, what are they called? The arms, the attachments that you put your mics in. You see all the people doing it.
Yeah, we love them all.
Blue. Sure.
Love you.
All right. This goes out to Kiev. Over at Blue Mics.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
What is it? What do we want to say?
I think we just want to say how in the before times, we just would use our internal mics. The days of internal mics are done. Because we've got the blue. Microphone, that's fun.
When Sonny gets blue, I don't know. I don't have anything.
You have it? Keep going. There you go. Come on.
Then it's time for your mic. Don't get a blue.
Exactly. You got to play the blues. That's what it is.
Oh my God.
You're doing the blues. You got to do the blues when you're playing for the blue. Oh man, that is going to go viral from Blue.
I've already felt pressured by you.
No, you
came in. There's also another bit that I have to look at a script. It's a full audition trigger. You know how I am. What do you think of my Pippins though?
Oh yeah, we got the dual pivots. We're both wearing. For the listener,
ladies and gentlemen,
home,
that's a reference to one of our favorite actors, Jeremy Piven.
And when Mr. Piven wants to live. When the Pivster wants to look serious.
Well, he epitomizes, for us, Hollywood. That certain type of Hollywood that it's kind of a bygone era now. But now we've adopted. We saved the glasses.
Well, I had gotten the LASIKs in 2005, maybe 2004. And the guy who did my LASIKs, he needed to tell me that he did Tiger Woods and Kenny G. He made sure
I knew. Okay.
Prior, right. Dr. Maloney in Beverly Hills. He was the guy.
And you know the one in Beverly Hills. Rank dank diddly diddy. Rank dank diddly
diddy. Oh, man. You know Prince. Lonely, no little net. Down on the front door. That would be great if Dr. Maloney had that playing when you were walking in. You know the one in Beverly Hills. Kenny G, Tiger Woods. No. I did them too.
Beverly Hills. I actually, that's like my least favorite line in the song.
Like the Prince.
Sort of shoehorned it in there.
It's What's like, your favorite Prince song? I like, you know how I like pick your music.
That one's pretty. That one's pretty. I do like that one. Let's go crazy because it's got that guitar break at the end, which I love. And then you think it's over, and they keep going. And they kind of change his key at the end. Oh, Prince, man.
Yeah, he really did kind of fuse a lot of different genres together. I mean, we've got Kiss. That's a great song.
Jumping around, did you see the Chappelle?
Raspberry Beret. I haven't seen it final, yet. No, there's a lot of controversy though. I'm not a big fan of the targeting of the LGBTQ community. It really kind of rubs me the wrong way. So it's
are you saying Chappelle cancel?
I think so, man. I mean,
there you go.
Well, I don't know. Dude, about we cancel, got a hot take. But I think that he obviously
he's crossed the line for you. It's like, wait, I can't.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I've read quite a bit about it.
Well, you're on the Twitter machine.
Yeah, and people
you know
on Twitter,
what's up. You know what's up.
And I don't think it's a hasty reaction. I think it's like, hey, man, you can't at this point, you know, you're siding with J.K. Rowling. you're staunchly defending her.
Wait, DaBaby. Don't forget DaBaby.
Yeah. It's like, dude, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's rethink this approach. You know,
I think I heard some of DaBaby.
Also, like, you know, it's a fact that a lot of LGBTQ teens, 70% of them that don't have support from the family, either find themselves addicted to heavy drugs or attempt to kill themselves. So like something like this, somebody, no, that's a true, that's an actual
number. No,
it's
true. I'm not being facetious.
Right. So somebody in that much of a public eye on Netflix, people are streaming, it's trending. It's like, come on, let's be responsible here. That's all I'm saying. It's like, yes, it's comedy, but like, if you're really going to the mat about this issue, Dave, it's like, maybe let's dial it back a little bit. That's
all right. But just to go devil's advocate, and I'm not a Chappelle apologist, but isn't that part of why we like Chappelle? I feel like Joe Rogan, totally going underdog on the wrong side. I'm like, but wait a minute. Isn't there a place for him to, and at the just a dialogue in the town square? And also what we love about Dave is he goes there, pushes, limits.
Yes, but I feel like this, he had already gone there. And then people reacted.
Right.
And then
he doubled down.
Yeah. And I'm like, you really had to double down, dude? We've already been there. We've gone down this road. You've made your opinions clear. Now you're getting to the point where people are, like Trump,
using
what you're saying as motivation.
As a weapon. He's weaponizing.
Weaponizing. Exactly. And that's what concerns me. That's what concerns me.
Now, before this, though, but I just have to still say on Chappelle, only because he's been so great.
I'm not denying he's one of the best.
The best.
Sure.
So that's even, think of that. He's the Jordan of comedy right now, or he has the top slot.
I just think he was not this was miscalculated on his part. You know what I mean? This one particular issue. Again, I have to watch it, but I've read enough about it and people are upset.
What about this concept though? The fact that I have to watch it now, even though I would probably agree with you, I'll probably be like, Dave, that you've taken it too far. And that's not good. I would disagree. I don't know if you're canceled, but I know it's coming and I still watch it. So am I part of the problem just by watching it?
Well, sure. You're saying no bad press. No press is bad press. People are tuning in.
I almost thought it could have been a plant or, I mean, he was doing, it was a plan. It was a plandemic on his part. Sorry, anytime I can say plandemic.
Sure, I never heard that. That's a new one.
What?
You coined new Panda, one. You coined Panda, you coined before times, well, you coined plandemic, you're on fire. I've never heard someone take it. A tragedy and turn it into gold.
You're saying too soon.
No, because you're not listen, mocking anybody.
I know that listeners are important. I'm trying to spice it up.
Sure.
As per your notes.
Speaking of listeners, I just want to say the reaction to the first episode was fantastic. We picked up a lot of new followers. I'm going to single out a few. Owlbeard.band just sent over a message and said, yay, I just started following after I heard the new cast. I love it. Thank you, Owlbeard. We've got
the new cast. Who's the new cast?
No, the new cast, like the apostrophe cast, as in podcast. See what I'm saying? We call it a cast. a cast.
We got cast.
Tim, our buddy Tim Zoll, one of our biggest fans. Awesome podcast. Love the chemistry. Keep it up. Thanks for answering my question. And we got some new questions. Should we go to questions already too soon? Is that all we got?
You know what? It did remind me that I was thinking we should rank our, remember they used to have top five. You're saying it was on MySpace.
Yeah.
Top five friends. I was saying maybe we should go top 10 in order.
Top 10.
Most important fans of the podcast. Well, I was afraid top five, it's not going to get it.
Well,
all right, here, I'm going to start it. Yeah. It off. Okay. I think it starts with Jack. He listens to every podcast.
He did send me a message telling me he very much.
And apparently he sent you a message, too.
Yeah, which, thank you, Jack. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the love.
I'm putting him in number one. And it's just, you know.
Wow. Hold on a second. Usually you go backwards to front. You're going frontwards to back.
No, one is one. Oh, you're saying we should start at 10?
Well, that's what people do. They do a countdown.
No, I think, purposes of this.
10, because, this is going to take the entire podcast. Chop, chop.
All right, I'll just go Michelle, number two.
Michelle Fleishley, your manager. Yeah.
Alex, number three.
I'm going to go Dr. Ketchup, number four, who just messaged us.
Juan E, five.
Juan E. But Dr. Ketchup did just message us and say, why did you? I don't want to rank.
Are we going out live? Is this live?
I don't
want to
rankle the feathers, but. Why did Kyle cancel the tour?
Well, this is...
We'll get to that. Dr. Ketchup is pissed. Dr. Ketchup is pissed.
Listen, there are so many forces. I know I've been just...
We'll get to it. Number dreading. Six, I'm going to say Hypnotico. You know Hypnotico. He messages us all the time. I got my sister, Cassie Wiseman. She loves the show. She sent over a message saying, what are you binging on television right now, Kyle? Or any suggestions for your fans?
Succession. Finished both seasons. Yeah. It's 20 hours. I mean, it's like a half-time, full-time job watching it. But sure. I got in that mode that I hadn't binged since Breaking Bad. I couldn't. I felt like the mouse pressing the heroin button. I just kept pressing. But man, once I was in, I was fully in.
I've been,
and I can't wait. And just like Patton Oswalt, apparently he can't wait for the new season.
Yeah,
Patton, I'm with you.
Sure.
You want to be a guest on the show? You want to talk it over?
I know Patton. He and I were on the Weird Al Yankovic show together, directed by Peyton Reed. Maybe you've seen it. Weird Al had a little sideshow. He was hoping it was going to be like the Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I played Spike, the town bully, and I bullied Patton's character. This was like 20 years ago.
Listen, this is a desperate name drop portion of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, is it? No, I'm talking about the Weird Al Yankovic
20 years
show.
Ago.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. If he's around, I'll cut that out. Yes, and in fact, I've been a fan of Brian Cox's, who plays the patriarch of the family, for years. Obviously, people know him from his film and television work.
Can you name his character name?
On the show?
Yeah,
yeah, of course. And you?
As Kevin is going to his device.
No, I'm not.
Logan Roy, the Logan, Roy family.
Yeah, the Roy family, the head of the family, Logan Roy. Yeah, but it's fresh in your mind. You just watched it. So you're Logan
Roy.
I had
to make sure. It was escaping me. I thought, I should just know these characters. I love them so much. Of course, you got Shiv.
Shiv.
And you got Kendall.
Kendall.
And then my favorite.
Rory Culkin. Rory Culkin's character. You love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Roman.
Roman.
Just probably one of my favorite characters in a long time.
Does it make you want to have that kind of money, or does it make you bristle at
no.
that family
well,
dynamic?
It's just, it, well, it just says that, hey, you know, money, it can it has its own set of problems, as great as seems like it might be. But
you're saying more money, more problems? Carter, no. Cue it up. Stop it.
Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels got blocks, who mostly Dolce down to the blue drop. The same old pimp.
It skewers the rich. It skewers the rich pretty good.
It really just kind of like shines a light on family dysfunction at any level. But Brian Cox, I saw in a play over at the Zephyr what? Theater on Melrose, one man show. He did Craps Last Tape. The Samuel
he
Beckett.
Did Craps. I love Craps Last Tape. I think I saw Steve Porter do it twice.
I saw that too. Yeah. I've seen way too that much Craps Last Tape.
Don't you think that that could be, don't you think I could probably nail that character?
Yeah.
See, I think that may be better to work on than the Chinatown script that you brought in. Maybe.
Well, Craps. Okay. Listen, I just rewatched Chinatown, 1974 classic written by Robert Towne, directed.
You know,
by
it might be a top three for me. It might be a.
It
it's
is
not
a perfect
the best
movie. It is a
all right.
Perfect
top three. I'm gonna go
movie.
Godfather.
Sure.
Chinatown.
1972. Sure. 1974.
And nobody and knows why, but Rosemary's Baby. 67.
Sure. 1967. You got two Polanskis and a couple.
I know. Is that and then see? Should I have canceled? I should have canceled.
Polanski. Well, do you separate the man from the artist?
The art from
that's
the artist.
Question.
Let's keep it.
The man from the art, or the art from the artist? Sure. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying art, like, well, art. Well, people say
well,
that
was
Michael
in,
Jackson. Can you listen to Michael Jackson songs now? Can we separate the art from the artist? Correct. I guess that is.
And you're saying yes. You're saying not a problem for you.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, of course, when I mention his name, I bristle. You know what I mean? Like,
God,
I got
not afraid
I got
to take on the issues here, are we? This is an issue day.
Well,
we'll just
I'm
going right at it.
I'm reading this book. Well, I'm actually listening to it. Called The Big Goodbye by Sam Wasson, which is Chinatown in the last years of Hollywood and kind of how that period. It's a nice companion piece to Easy Rider, Raging Bulls, which is the Peter Biskind book about the golden age of cinema, the 1970s, the Hal Ashby movies, Coppola, you know, basically everything pre-1977 when Spielberg rolled in with the animatronic shark. And that was the end of Hollywood, according to Peter Biskind. In that was the beginning of the blockbuster, because you had movies about people, about issues. And this movie was basically a throwback to noir movies, but with real issues. How did LA become a city? By people stealing water and robbing the community and lying to the people of LA, because we live in a desert. This is basically about, you know, this town was built on thieves. Griffith, Mulholland, Melrose. I mean, look it up online. The list goes on.
What Kevin is saying is we have a colorful history here in Los Angeles.
So I thought.
The O'Malley family, I think they were.
I thought, let me give you a little background. It's a neo-noir mystery film directed by Roman Polanski, screenplay by Robert Towne, starring the great Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. It was inspired by the California Water Wars, series of disputes over Southern California water, the beginning of the 20th century. Robert Evans produced it, the great Robert Evans. Paramount Pictures. It was the director's last film in the United States, and it features Roman Polanski's many elements of film noir, particularly a multi-layered story that is part mystery and part psychological drama. A fantastic script, took years to write. Basically, Robert Towne almost killed himself. And I thought you would be a fantastic
what? Houston. Is this a shot-for-shot remake? This is happening? You're saying, is this an audition or did I get the part?
It's an audition, but it's yours to lose. You are a front runner. All right. And here's the thing. So John Huston at the time was a huge director. His father, Walter Huston, a big director. The reason why Huston did this film, what do you think?
Great script?
No.
Somebody asked him?
Well, yeah. But why did he say yes?
I give up. Why?
We were talking about it earlier. Circles back to your favorite TV show, Mo Blank, Mo Problems.
Mo Money. Over free.
He had gambled away all his money.
Oh, and, no.
Yes. Really? Yes, he needed money. He took acting jobs, like three or four in a row.
Yeah.
For money. That was why.
Oh, my gosh. And then to say he was so brilliant. I remember he was always good. I think I remember seeing him in some television anthology, like a night gallery sort of thing. I could be totally off base. And he played some sort of twisted. He was a twisted sort of
murderer. You're already fantastic.
I can't believe I was almost turned down this part. Hold on. What page are we on? We're on 68.
Okay. Thank you for coming in to read, Kyle. You'll be playing.
Wait a minute.
You'll be playing the part of Cross, and I will be reading
Noah Cross.
I'll be reading Jack's part, Giddes. But now I want to remind you that he constantly mispronounces his name,
Mr. Giddes.
Yeah.
I remember.
Of course, you know. So the movies he was doing at the time, solely for money, Battle of the Planet of the Apes, The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. He basically took these films for the cash. Breakout, which was a movie in 1975, and The Man.
But what you're really saying is he wouldn't have done these roles had he been in a financially challenged position. He was just doing this for the money.
Right.
All right, I'm ready.
Noah Cross is playing the father, so we think, of Faye Dunaway's character. And Nicholson is trying to figure out what's going on and comes to visit him at his ostensibly palatial estate. Okay, but before we start, I think, Carter, we need some new segment music. What's this segment called? Acting with Kyle and Kevin. No, we need a better name. Kyle, you got a better name?
Classics. All right, I think I'm ready. Here we go. Oh, I hope you don't mind. I believe they should be served with the head.
That's fine, as long as you don't serve the chicken that way.
Oh, tell me, what do the police say?
They're calling it an accident.
Who's the investigating officer?
Lou Escobar. He's a lieutenant.
Do you know him?
Oh, yes.
Where from?
We work Chinatown together.
Would you call him a capable man?
Very.
Honest?
Far as it goes. Of course, he has to swim in the same water we all do.
Of course. But you've got no reason to think he's bungled the case.
None.
That's too bad.
Too bad?
It disturbs me, Mr. Giddes. It makes me think you're taking my daughter for a ride. Financially speaking, of course. How much are you charging her?
My usual fee. Plus a bonus if I come up with results.
Are you sleeping with her? Come, Mr. Giddes. You don't have to think about that to remember, do you?
It's Giddes. And if you want an answer to that question, I can always put one of my men on the job. Good afternoon, Mr. Cross.
Mr. Giddes, you're dealing with a disturbed woman who's lost her husband. I don't want her taken advantage of. Please sit down.
What for?
You may think you know what you're dealing with, but believe me, you don't.
Why is that funny?
It's what the DA used to tell me about Chinatown.
Was he right? Exactly what do you know about me, Mr. Gitz?
Mainly that you're rich and too respectable to want your name in the papers.
Of course I'm respectable. I am old. Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough. I'll double whatever your fees are, and I'll pay you $10,000 if you can find Hollis's girlfriend.
Wow! It's wonderful. Yeah, we're gonna call it there. We're gonna wrap it up. You know, less is more. Less is more. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Gass playing the part of Noah Cross, and of course Kevin Wiseman, myself as Mr. Gitz.
Well, weren't we really? Wasn't? Weren't we just doing an impression workshop?
Yeah, I should have said as John Huston. I was doing.
We weren't trying to reinvent.
No. That's a great scene. The tension and the subtext in that scene. And by the way, in the book, Huston is drunk in all of these scenes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He drank a half a bottle of vodka in his trailer, especially in the last.
Really? Oh, wow.
Where they're in Chinatown and the scene where Faye Dunaway gets shot in the eye.
Now, can I just ask you, was that just kind of due to the anxiety of the acting to kind of get some courage, or was he just sort of a straight up alcoholic who was just
an alcoholic? And like, I guess Angelica Huston was dating Jack at the time and showed up on the set and went into the trailer and Huston was like, "Where the hell have you been?"
supposedly
was like the line between his character Cross and Huston blurred. And then when they're out in Chinatown and he's sitting around the car, remember Faye Dunaway's car?
Yeah.
He's like holding court with all the crew and everybody's listening with rapt attention. And Polanski had to be like, "Please stop telling stories and we have to get this. John, please." He couldn't remember his lines. I mean, he just didn't, I don't think he cared really that much.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
But it turns out he was great.
Well, that's the, in the final analysis, he was great. But I didn't know about that. He needed the money and that he was drunk the whole time. But now that you mention it, I mean, he seemed pretty loose. He seemed unimpeded, for sure.
Maybe that's the secret.
Is that it? Well, that's...
Young actors out there, we're not telling you to imbibe. Although my teacher at UCLA, my acting teacher, used to say before your headshot, take a little shot of something, one shot, and what just to that? Loosen up.
What was Tom that European movie where that was about the friends? They were trying to stay at a certain level of.
Oh God, that was a fantastic one. Mads Mikkelsen. Yes, that was a fantastic movie.
Have we talked about this one?
Are you talking about Another Round, the 2020?
Another
movie?
Round.
Yeah, he played.
What year was that?
2020. He played.
Oh, wow, so recent.
Yeah, he was. That was nominated. I think it won best. It won best
international. Or did it win?
Yeah.
That's right. Remember when it's the best foreign film?
We don't say that anymore, sir.
I know.
We don't say that anymore. We say international. Yeah. I mean, I guess foreign. Yeah, the concept of Another Round was just like, in order to achieve nirvana and a happy existence, just a little bit of alcohol, not too much. But of course, a couple of the guys started just drinking a little too. You're supposed to keep it like throughout the day. It's like microdosing.
Yeah, that's the thing. About Nine Perfect Strangers really taught the world to microdose. Thanks to Nicole Kidman. You haven't watched it?
No.
Well, spoiler alert, that's kind of sort of behind, but it's so much more.
Microdosing. So much more. Yeah, have you ever tried microdosing the mushrooms?
I have not. I remember just taking a lot, but we didn't know how much to take back then. So you just made sure you were
taking an actual like cycle.
Well, probably. Yeah. What do you try to take? 3 or 4 grams?
Well, microdose is 5 to 10%.
I'm too old. My brain's too old, Kevin, to do.
No, I think you might do well with microdosing. You're not hallucinating. It's not a hallucinatory.
Wow. Dose. You say it could give me that edge that I've been looking for.
It's not.
For.
It's
that creative edge.
It's a rejiggering of perspective.
All right.
Do you know what I mean? If you do it over a period of time, of what I understand. No, you do it every fourth day because you take it the first day. Maybe you do 0.15 or 0.3%. Then the second day, you actually are still feeling the effects. Third day, neutral day, you reset. Fourth day, you take it again. And you do this for a few months. And you see how you feel, and you see if you have a new perspective, if you have
And you see the world in a whole new way.
Yeah,
you see,
and you're not tripping. You can drive. You can
right. You're can function. Present. You're highly functioning.
Yes, I feel like being present.
Yeah,
we've lost that in this society because
distracted. The shaman Wiseman.
Well, that's why I like acting, because you can't not be present. You have to be. You're forced.
You have to be. Yeah.
You know, you have no distractions, hopefully. You know, it's like yoga, or it's like acting, or it's like, you know, meditating. But this is another way to help, I believe, being present, as opposed to taking like a Western medicine where you're taking, you know, benzodiazepine just to like take the edge off. This is like taking the edge off, but it's also springing you forward. Does that make sense?
Damn, you just pulled that out your butt there, that diazepam.
I think I said it wrong. Benzodiazepam. Pam.
Yeah.
Kyle, it's Pam.
The benzos they're never good, right?
Those it's are a road bad. To nowhere. No, I remember when my dad was sick in 2010 and he had cancer, and you know, he would only want me to come to the meeting with the doc because I have three sisters and his sister, and then I had to call everybody afterwards to tell each person how the meeting went. It was highly stressful and he wasn't doing well, but I was there for my dad. And I told my doctor, I'm having so much anxiety. I'm freaking out. And he was like, here, just take, you know, I'll prescribe you these. It was literally like,
well, sure. That's, you know, those are the good doctors. You know, the one in Beverly Hills. Doctor, what's his name, by the way?
His name was Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood. You know the one.
Oh, wait. In the Prince
in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. What is his name? To make it feel all right.
Okay, we got to go. Hey, Siri. Play Let's Go Crazy.
I'll have Carter play it. But yeah,
now
play
playing
it.
Let's well, Go I have Crazy.
To, I have to
yeah, Prince go, go, and the it. Revolution.
It's right at the beginning. So, you know.
Yeah. This song makes so much more sense as I get older.
Probably the greatest song ever written.
Yeah.
Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a
mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you. Yeah. There's something else. Is it? The afterworld. A world of never ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day.
Or night.
So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right.
No, it's Doctor.
His name
all right.
is Doctor. Everything will be all right. Yeah. That's his name. Doctor, everything will be all right.
Hold on, let's hear it.
You know the one.
Doctor,
everything will be all right.
I think it's just everything be all right.
Oh, there's no will. You know the one.
Was he in Beverly Hills though?
Yeah.
Did he say that?
You know the one. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Well, I had my
it's doctor everything be all right. So it's everything be all right.
Yeah. Oh, that his so middle name his is B.
Middle
Brian.
Name could, yeah.
His middle name is Brian.
Bartholomew.
Everything Bartholomew. Dun, dun, all right.
You know the one.
Can I speak to Doctor All Right, please? Oh, Doctor Everything Bartholomew. You have a line. You have a call online too.
Mr. All Right. Doctor All Right.
Yes, Kai. Is that Kevin? He has anxiety. Give him his pills.
Oh no, he's German.
Yes, Doctor. All right, why? We are German.
Why does it always go? Why does it always end up in Germany? I can't believe we're canceling our own podcast.
Well, I didn't say it was bad. Yeah, he's Dr. All Right. All right, I'll do it. Hey, that's Kyle. This is Dr. All Right. We like the time you wish it. He's from Eastern Europe. You are one fat looking chicken guy. Don't lie. Where's you living in? Take a look around.
Look what JR just sent me.
Oh my God. Sarah Diamond, October 3rd. Ron Gallo, October 7th. Kyle Gass, October 9th. That's tomorrow. Is that a real? That's where you're supposed to be playing? Well, that was it. That was it. Let's circle back. Fan questions.
I had to cancel the tour. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. The tour had to be canceled.
How did people find out that you canceled?
Well, because of stuff like that, I think I'm still on the marquee. Right. I wanted to come.
Well, dude, that's the thing is that you posted. So our first episode came out. Thank you to everybody for listening. _ did we do it? _ You sent us some really nice messages. I got to get it out there. Jesus.
God, that was smooth.
You know, and then you posted it on your grid at like 5 in the morning, because we posted 4 in the morning. And I woke up and I look, I saw, I was like, all right, Kyle, he's giving us some promo, because sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And, but I leave it up to you. Then you said, and then it was gone like 3 hours later. I was like, why did he take it down? And then you said it was because some people were sending you messages about why did you cancel the tour, which I thought, well, they're not, it's not, you didn't do it to them. You did it because the truth. Of safety and.
No, I couldn't face the truth, Kevin.
Which was the ticket sales? Dude, it was early. People were going to come. They buy tickets the night of.
That's what I also wanted to say. And I don't know if I covered it. The promoters were getting nervous. I was trying to do them a favor. It's like, I don't want you to take a bath. And I think they booked me in too big. What I'm learning is that I'm not very popular, and I can't fill up the big, spaces.
You don't think you're popular? Jasper.RS says, hey guys. Oh wait, this isn't the question I wanted to respond to make you feel better, but hey, look at this. Trainwreck Daryl Lee said he'd like to request a full episode in Sammy Davis Jr. voices.
Is that JR?
Yeah, JR. Hey, thanks, JR. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. This will make you feel good. Pat D 2020 says, does KG want a UK love toy? Let's take a look at that.
What is that? Profile. That's not a human being, is it? A love toy.
Oh, it's Mark and something. Pat Stanett D. Oh, so it's a married male couple that want to know if you'd like to join them as a love toy.
I do. Oh, wait. Now, who's I'm the toy?
I think so.
Do you remember
a toy for you? Or do you want just a toy sent to you in the mail, maybe? You need to clarify, guys. Pat D, we need more information about this question.
Do you remember the toy, the movie with Richard, starring Richard Pryor?
Oh, and my God, a toy. Of course, with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Was that yet another classic? Not just Silver Streak.
Wait, Wilder in that one? No, that was Jackie Gleason.
Was in the toy.
He was the toy. Richard Pryor was the toy for the rich son. I'm not sure that would fly today.
Oh, you don't think so? You don't think so? The guy in the box.
We should do a
rich
remake.
Guy buying a human.
We should do a remake of the toy, and you could be my toy, my child's toy. It's Kyle.
You're the Jackie Gleason. You're the wealthy. It seems to be this, a podcast theme is really trying to make me feel good.
It is. So here's one that you're going to love. Dogs Who Vape says gear talk and had a guitar. And I know you love talking about gear.
Sure.
And guitar, and then had a little drum. So I guess they want to know about my drum.
Yeah. Gear. I'm going to say Ludwig. And
I'm a Slingerland guy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Very classic. I like the old school, like the Gene Krupa Slingerland. But what guitar are you playing these days that you love? What's the sweetest sound?
It doesn't matter. Did you see my post?
See, that's what I knew you would react that way. While you're tuning up there, I just want to clarify.
Thanks some of our sponsors.
Thanks some of our sponsors.
Who sponsors us?
I think we're going to be working with Magic Spoon. Coming up. Magic Spoon. Stand by for Magic Spoon.
What happened to my no ads policy?
No.
I can't believe
it. Selective listening. I do want to give a shout out to the Hollywood Food Coalition. I spoke about them last week. I work with them. They are an organization here in Hollywood serving food insecure people for 365 days a year since 1987 and have launched an exchange to provide food and goods to the community. Hashtag HOFOCO or Hollywood Food Co. on Instagram. Check them out. They're awesome people. They're a great organization. So check them out. A couple of people reached out and wanted more information. So there it is.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. Virtue signaling.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, right. Tim Zoll, one of our biggest fans who was in the top 10. He wants to know, what are the biggest misconceptions about Hollywood, Kyle? What would you say to that?
Wow, biggest misconceptions. Well, I guess, what are the conceptions? I guess Hollywood, it is a lot of talented people are here doing it. You have to. They matriculate here. And that's the key, is the matriculation. Yeah. If you're super talented in Cornwall, Indiana.
Sure.
Like, well, I think I might go to Hollywood. I might be too talented for Cornwall.
Sure. But it's kind of like playing a sport in that you could be the premier quarterback in your small town, and then you get to the next level and all of a sudden everyone's the premier quarterback from their town. You know what I mean? So the competition continues to grow. Well, the level of talent is high. So you really have to have your A game at all time. I also think one of the misconceptions is when you do start to work, if you're fortunate enough to work and get jobs, you think, I think the misconception is everyone will remain friends and stay in touch after each project, but it's kind of like summer camp. It's an intense family and then you move on. And you don't really remain in touch with a lot of people until you see them again, however many years later. And you're like, hey, I just had this 20-year anniversary Jen Garner put together for Alias. And it was incredible seeing cast and crew, from the DP to the first AC, camera department, to the props department, to the craft service department, to the actors. It was great. It was like a high school reunion. I hadn't seen these people with the exception of on social media for 20 years. Well, actually 15 years. It was 20 years since the premiere of the show. And it was like a high school reunion. And it wasn't because I don't love or care about these people. We had an incredible time, but people move on. Other projects, life, family, right? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Where's your beanie? Where's your beanie?
I know. Maybe like that's not. I'm not on my game. I don't got my beanie. My hair is out of control.
You're saying success has many fathers.
Sure.
But failure. Is an orphan.
Yeah, I knew you were saying it's an orphan. Let me get my beanie.
You gotta get the beanie. All right, I'm in. Come on. Oh no, oh he's got the beanie, and that's what he knows.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have your game, come on, get
I went from B game with no beanie to A game once I put on the beanie. And you might notice the insignia on this beanie, which is Dogtown and Z Boys. Did you ever see that documentary?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my sister, Laura Weisman, shout out. She's friendly with those guys. And we were able to go over to the Dogtown, you know, shop. And Ellie, my daughter, they gifted her some fantastic skateboards and gave me some swag. And love to the folks over at Dogtown Skateboards. Get yourself one, Kyle.
The way you just transition, your transitions are just spot on now. It's like you're born to do it. Born to do it. Riddle me this.
Yeah.
Why am I stuck on 270? Okay. On my
Instagram. On your gram?
I used to grow. Was it because I was posting every day? Or you're saying that some people have stopped?
Well, I'm saying you're continuing to gain followers, but you're also losing followers at a precipitous rate. So it's an even.
You know, I was trying to get you to make you say it.
And you're losing 1,000. Gaining 1,000, losing 1,500.
Well, then what gaining, the fuck happened?
Well,
Kevin?
Too many posts. Too many posts and deletes. Too many posts and deletes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Was he better in Chinatown or Cuckoo's Nest? I'm saying Chinatown was his best performance of all time.
I'd go Chinatown, but yeah. Randall Patrick McMurphy was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a great. I was thinking of that as a theater.
What about You Can't Handle the Truth?
A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
Man, was there ever a better iconic line than that?
What was the other one that he said in Batman?
Wait till they see, get a look at me now.
Wait till they get a load of me.
There's no now on the end? No.
You changed it. Wait till they get to see me now. You went Broadway.
I did. Yeah, I extrapolated.
Wait till they get to see me now.
I made it more Great White Way. Dude, now I know we did it.
Episode 3, we will have a guest, surprise guest, so please tune in.
This is exciting.
There will be a guest. First two eps, no guest. Third ep, guest.
Now that's a tease.
It's going to be a good one.
That's too. A tease, yeah.
It's going to be
a
good
one. Can't wait to see who it is.
Did we do it? Season 2, guest next week. You want to do a take 2? Do another one.
Guess we'll have guests like Kevin wanted. Oh, we'll have guests.
Thanks everybody for coming to
Did We Do It? Did We Do It? Kyle and Kevin gonna shoot the shit. Do it. Kevin and Cage coming your way. That's what they always do. Did we do it?
Good night, everybody.
Please like and subscribe. It will really help me.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.